That is, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, and seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. So Judy, we're looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Great. I can take this thing off, right?
Yeah.
Oh, any of my New Mexico people here? Oh, hi, Ellen. Tammy. Patty, there you are. Yay. Hi, everybody. My name's Judy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Judy.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Wonderful.
You had a... How can you complain? We've had a week of the most marvelous weather, huh? It's going to go away. It's going to get real windy again tonight, they tell me. I've had a really good day. I bought some bushes to plant in the yard. I got them on sale. That's always fun.
That's six or seven.
Stop it. I was supposed to meet yesterday with my grandson, and I had a doctor's appointment just to follow up to make sure everything was all right with this... whatever they think I have, which I think they're wrong, but, you know, who am I? And I have never had to wait in the doctor's office. And yesterday I had to wait. I had to wait about an hour, and my grandson could not hold off that long. He had another commitment, and he couldn't, so I missed lunch with him, and I am not happy about that. I just was having a temper tantrum. And so instead of explaining to my doctor about a couple of things that were troubling me, I just said, I just need to get out of here. Just do whatever you have to do and let me go. And so it wasn't a very good visit. So, you know, we're talking about defects of character, and we're talking about shortcomings. And I have to tell you, I always thought those two things were two different things. So I thought, it's hard to remember what I thought when I was newer in the program, because my thinking, as you've probably figured out, was pretty screwed up when I got here. But at the discussion meetings I went to and the open meetings I went to, it seemed to me like everyone thought a character defect and a shortcoming was the same thing. Now, could I see a raise of hands? How many think they're the same, or how many think they're different? Oh, look at that. Well, maybe we got, you know, I don't know. Isn't it funny how people have different ideas about things? I guess if you look them up in the dictionary, there's some differences, and I didn't do that before tonight. But I want to share with you something that I heard early on that made me think that. They used to say a shortcoming is like having a flat tire. A character defect is driving on it. So, I mean, that can be really confusing, right? You hear little snippets like that around the rooms, and you're trying to figure out what's going on with this... I would call it very intellectual reading of this big book, you know, if you don't have somebody to guide you and help you understand what the heck is going on. And then around 25 years of sobriety, I learned about Joe and Charlie, and I started, oh my gosh, I listened to them, and wow, it just really lit me up. And I use Joe and Charlie when I sponsor women, because he explains the big book a lot better than I ever could. And I like their ideas and the logic behind it, and they have humor. And how many know Joe and Charlie, everybody? Yeah, they're really good speakers. If you don't know them, check them out. Joe and Charlie Silkworth, and that'll take you there on the big ol' internet, you know? And Joe and Charlie said that Bill liked to use, you know, just like to... mingle, intermix words that had the same meaning, and that shortcoming and character defect were one of those terms that he used that just meant the same thing. So that made more sense to me, because I was trying to think, we're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character and then humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. It was very confusing to me. I thought, what am I asking him to do here? I knew at the end of my fifth step, I had identified what my character defects were. And for me, it was just riddled with fear. That was like the main character defect. Selfish, self-centeredness was another big character defect. Dishonesty. What else? Oh, I was just the victim. I was not able to take responsibility, so I had a lot of blame. I was judgmental. I found out a lot of negative characteristics about my personality and my thinking and my emotional stability by doing a fourth and fifth step with the help of a sponsor. I never could have figured this out on my own. And so my understanding was then, after the fifth step, have a look at six and then seven, and they're right there in the big book. That's after you go home and take an hour and make sure that you haven't left anything out after your fifth step. I hope you all know about that. It's in our big book. And then you consider, am I ready? Now, it does say we were entirely ready. Well, that was kind of a... Who's ever entirely ready for anything except a drink, when we were out there drinking? I haven't been entirely ready for very much in my life, so I didn't even know what that would look like or how I could ever get there with these shortcomings. I know when I was newly sober, I did not have a driver's license. I had one before I got here, but it expired, and I never took care of it because, I was busy drinking. And then when I got sober... And I married that guy that I told you about last week that I never should have married. He kept saying, you have to get a driver's license. And I said, I do not. And you can't make me. And I'm not going to. And that's all. I've been driving for 5 years without a license. You think I'm going to go get a license because you say I have to? Over my dead body. You see, I was... You can't tell me what to do. At least he never could. Well, it's just nuts. And it wasn't long after that, and my sweet sponsor said to me, you ought to be thinking about getting a driver's license. And I thought, ugh. I said I would follow directions. Now, she said you ought to think about it. So, I had to get entirely ready to go get a driver's license. I guess that's the best way I can explain it. So it was sort of that way with, entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. But when I found out what they were doing to me and how they were affecting the way that I interacted with others and the way that I responded or reacted to events outside of myself, I really then became pretty ready. I can't say entirely because I don't know. That just hasn't hit me yet. I became very ready to have almost all of them removed. I guess I thought this obstinance, this you can't tell me what to do, I didn't want to get rid of that one. I have to be honest. So I kind of, said I'll just, cuddle that for a while and see, because it's going to take a while to get all these other ones removed. Well, and then humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings, meaning the same thing, at least in the context of this talk, because I can't do it a different way now. This is what I believe and how I do it. So, our good friend Bill W., liked to use different methods of saying the same thing. So shortcomings, character defects, or tonight are the same thing. So asking him, you know, you heard me say I don't like these prayers in the book. I don't like the third. I like the prayers in the book because they help people, but they have the prayers in the book haven't helped me. I can't embrace someone else's prayers. It feels too religious. It feels too churchy. And try as I may, I cannot do it. I just can't. So I do my own prayers. And I think anytime you're addressing a power greater than yourself, God, universal principle, whatever you want to call it, I think that power actually listens and responds. And it doesn't matter if it's a prayer out of a book, if that's what your heart tells you, or if it is just the intent of your heart speaking to this power. And for me, that's the only way that this could work for me. And I was given permission to do that. They told me, you can talk to your power any way that you want to. You can believe whatever you want, as long as, you know, it is a power greater than yourself. And for me, you know, I told you that started out G.O.D., Good Orderly Direction, and G.O.D., Group of Drunks, and then my sweet Mary at about year three. You know, I just held on to her tail and her coattails, and I just wanted to believe. I wanted to have the faith that she had. And although she did enjoy and use written prayers, she also really talked to God in a very personal way. And I think I picked up a lot of ideas and found that was a very comfortable way for me to connect with a power greater than myself. So how do we, once we become willing, and I just, you know, I'd like to rewrite this step and say, you know, we don't have to be entirely ready. I mean, you know, how does that, has anyone ever been like entirely ready when you began to take this sixth step? Were you like entirely ready? Could I see a show of hands? No, I guess not. So if you had a sponsor like mine, here's what she said to me. As long as you have a willingness to begin, you know, you can't get where you want to go if you stay where you are. Oh, that sounds pretty good. Okay, let me try to move somewhere where I've never been. Where might that be? Well, maybe it could be I could change my street language. Maybe I could quit telling lies to make myself look better and make you like me more. Maybe I can stop stealing. Whew, that was pretty hard for me. Maybe I can readjust my sexual ideas. How about that? That would be a nice change in my life early in my sobriety. How about we start working on these things and we'll see what kind of response, not that I put any conditions on it, I don't mean that. I mean, and let's see where it goes, and then we can just slowly move on. We can't do it all at once. I can't change everything in one day, but let's start somewhere so that we don't stay where we are, because I don't want to stay where I am. Even now, I don't want to stay where I am. I love opportunity and, you know, different ways of growing and learning new things. You know, it's pretty exciting to me. So that's kind of how I experienced step 6 and 7. And that resulted in huge changes in my life, huge. And it made me very open then to say, you know, they weren't kidding. They were not kidding. Like I heard early on, you know, when you come into AA, you think all you have to do is stop drinking. That's wrong. You have to change everything about you and your life. And I used to think, oh, they're so full of crap. You know, they're such goofballs in there. But that turned out to be a truth that was real. And I could experience that. I could begin to know that. And there wasn't much of my past that I wanted to carry into a new way of life. I mean, I wanted to keep breathing. But that was about it, you know. I wanted to show up, you know. I wanted to contribute. I wanted to be supportive. But I guess for me, I never built any character. And interesting enough, Mary had me, I don't know if I covered this in an earlier segment, but Mary had me make a list of adjectives, I had to remember what that was from my English class, that would describe the kind of person I wanted to be. Yeah. And she said, just make a list of that and put your name and date on it and give it to me, you know, next week when we meet. And so I did that. I sat down and I really put a lot of thought into it. And one of the first things was, first of all, I wanted to be sober. That was number one. And I wanted to have courage. I wanted to be able to not have to please you. I didn't want to have to pretend to be something I'm not so you could like me. That was a big one. It was big. And I thought that took courage. It takes courage to be yourself, to be just to be your own unique little self, not to pretend to be something you're not. And I was pretending my whole life to be something I wasn't, and hoping that somehow, you know, I'd just fall into place. I don't know. And I wanted to be tender. And I couldn't even describe to you what tender might feel like. I didn't even know. I wanted to be gentle. I wanted to be kind and loving and tender. And gentle were things that weren't available in that house when I was growing up. And so Mary actually took me and showed me, this is a tender touch. This is a gentle reminder. This is a gentle way of talking to someone and trying to help them be motivated about something maybe they should take a look at. I'm so grateful to her. I just didn't know. And I think about when the holidays came. You know, the holidays growing up in my house would mean Mom and Dad would get up and they'd have good intentions and then they'd open the booze and then pretty soon my mother is fed up and she throws the turkey out the kitchen window into the backyard. I'm not doing this. F all of you. And she'd go up to the room and slam the door. And my father would go out and get the turkey and dry it off. And then he'd say, Judy, can you finish cooking the turkey? And then he'd go up and maybe he'd beat the crap out of her. It just was terrible. It was awful. And then after I cooked the turkey, everybody had to sit down at the table. Do you believe this? And my father would say, everyone has to say what they're grateful for. We all wanted to climb under the table. What we're grateful for? Are you kidding me? You know, it just... So when the holidays came around and I'm sober, what do you do with this? I was like, nutso. So Mary said, you can have a holiday to be anything you want. And she got me thinking in a different way. And I'm so grateful to her. She said, what would a Thanksgiving holiday sound like? What would it smell like? What would people be doing in your home on a Thanksgiving holiday according to how you would like to have a holiday? You get to decide. You get to create that. You get to do it. And then when I'm trying to decorate a new house that I got, she said, you get to do it any way you want. What do you want your house to say when people come into it? And you know what people say when they come in my house? They go, I know I can come there and rest if I'm tired. I can eat if I'm hungry. And I can chat if I'm lonely. And I know I can always do that at Judy's. because that's the way I wanted my house to be, and that's how I want people to feel when they come in my house. You know, what's mine is yours. If there's something here you want, take it, you know. Yeah, because someone gave it to me. And while I'm on that subject, I might as well just vent about this because it makes me crazy. Maybe you guys have it over here too. I know it's my platform right now, so I get to do it. There's women with time in my community and in other communities close to me, and they're afraid to have new people come in their house. Do you flip and believe that? They're afraid they're going to steal something.
No.
They're going to steal something. Are you kidding me? They're afraid the neighbors are going to look at them like, what is that person doing over there? You know, she has purple hair, for God's sake. Oh. I love you, darling. Are they going to, you know, and I mean, they're, honestly, I just don't get it. And you know what they do? They have Christmas parties, and they have like six little women that have this party. And that same six women every year have this Christmas party. It makes me crazy. You know, Sunday I'm having like 15 people at my house. We're all bringing an appetizer. It's all females. I have six ladies that are having an anniversary and two ladies from out of town that are having anniversaries. And we're having a party at my house. And whoever wants to come can come. And that's just, it just has to be that way. Alcoholics Anonymous is inclusive. It is not exclusive. Because Mary taught me so many life skills, that enabled me to be able to do the same thing. And depending on the girls that I get that ask me to sponsor them, that might be that they need to know how to budget money and go shopping for a week of groceries and then prepare meal ideas and actually cook food. I mean, cook food, you know, chop onions, you know. So many of our young women don't know how to cook. It might mean maybe I'm going to teach them how to can, because maybe they have a garden and, you know, they can save money by canning. Maybe I'm going to teach them how to make strawberry jam because, you know, I do that too. I learned that here in Alcoholics Anonymous. Maybe I'm going to teach them how to plant a flower. Maybe I'm going to teach them, you know, what some healthy snacks are for their kids. It just depends on whatever the need is. Maybe they just need a hug. Yeah. So I'm done venting about that. But, you know, those women are missing. I could cry about it. They are missing the best joy you could have in Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's one person helping another with, you know, you remember that responsibility statement, how when anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA to be there for that. I'm responsible. And boy, that was really drilled into my education in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I really try to be responsible for that. So that's what I have on steps 6 and 7. Of course, now, as I went along in sobriety, that changed for me, and it became very clear that it was to my benefit to have all of my character defects removed, and my prayer became much more heartfelt because I had the evidence of what the benefits were. And I don't want any part of that old me. I like the new me. And for that, I'm grateful. I want to thank you all. God bless.
You can stay right there.
Oh, I can?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Judy. Now we'll open this up to questions and answers. So in the room here, if you have a question, please go ahead and raise your hand. If you're on Zoom and you have a question, please just unmute yourself and go ahead whenever you're ready. So who would like to get us started? Okay, we've got someone in the room here.
Hi, Judy. My name is Elijah, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Eli.
I'd like to thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. You know, for the first few segments, I really have been in tune and getting a lot out of your steps. And it has helped me grow. Even though I have 11 years, I'm still going through it. And you really helped me out a lot for us with the 6 and 7 step. And I did it the first time, and then it was like some other things started coming back up. And as far as like the character defects, and I really enjoyed that. I just had to say that. And you know, I would love for you to come down to the Alcanon Club, you know, to talk to some of the battered women that's there. You know, there's a lot of newcomers, and they really need to hear you share your experience, strength, and hope, you know, because they really need it, and some of the men too as well, you know.
Yeah.
And we would definitely love to have you. So that's all I wanted to say.
I've been to the Alcanon Club quite a few times, and I love traveling, and after I get my second shot on April 8th, I'll feel a little more confident in that. They diagnosed me with a heart condition here at the first of the year, so I'm just trying to be mindful of it. I think they were wrong, because my heart is good. You know, when I get a chance, I'll be over there. Thank you, Eli.
Who else has a question for Judy?
Hi, Judy, Rena Alcoholic.
Hi, Rena.
Do you feel that our higher powers sometimes reveal character defects to us later on in our sobriety when he feels like we're ready to start working on it?
Do I feel like what?
Our higher powers may reveal character defects to us later on in our sobriety?
I think our higher power makes us aware. Is that what you mean? I don't think he purposely does things to cause us to have something revealed, but I think he opens an awareness in us.
Like my whole life, I didn't realize I had perfectionism. I just discovered that,
like in my 13th year, and now I've been working on it for the past couple years, and it was a huge wow. This is what's been wrong with me, type thing.
Yeah, That's a real cumbersome, that perfectionism. Yeah. Thanks.
Who would like to ask a question next?
I don't know.
Anyone on Zoom?
No. So cute.
I know.
Well, it's too early for me not to ask
it. Who else has a question?
All right, hi, Jim Alcoholic.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Judy. Another wonderful night of AA. Thank you. So, what is, because I don't think you really said, what are your thoughts on whether or not character defects and shortcomings are the same or different?
Oh, I have come to believe they're the same. Early on, I thought shortcomings were sloth. What are those other things? Jealousy. I don't know, like the 7 deadly sins or... I don't know. I got mixed up with some readings that weren't AA, and it got me all discombobulated. But since Joe and Charlie, I think they're one and the same. For the purpose of the readings in the big book and for the purpose of having character defects removed, it's the same thing as shortcomings in that's how I view it and do it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. I'm Patty Alcoholic.
Oh, hi, Patty.
Hi. Can you share some experiences of how you deal with your character defects today?
Sure. Today what happens is I deal with them more, I would say, in the concept of step 10, Patty. So as soon as I find myself being judgmental, being maybe I'm going to tell a lie, I become aware of it. It's aware right away. And it tells us in step 10, you know, when we become aware of these negative things, right away we ask God to remove them. That's like number one. We watch for them, then we ask God to remove them. I just did this study with one of the girls that I sponsor this morning. And then the third thing is we make amends if we need to, and we share what we're thinking with somebody else, and then we go and help somebody. So it's like a little four-part thing. We watch, we ask, we make amends, and we share what we're thinking. Maybe I'm thinking, oh, I think I want to have a Bud Light. That's not a good thought. So I better ask God to remove that right away. And then I call one of the girls, and I say, you'll never believe, I'm thinking about this. And one of the girls said to me, that's not a thought, that's a nightmare, Judy. I love them, you know, they set me straight. And then we kind of laugh about it, and she says, yeah, you know, last week I had that thought too. I had to call Susie or whatever, you know. And then I feel better, and then I get busy, and I look around and see if somebody needs a hand or a smile or a flower or a cookie or whatever. I try to help somebody. And it never used to be that fast. It used to be, well, I'll take care of that tomorrow or next week, or I'll just sit on it. But I can't do that. You see, now I am so much closer to death than I am to birth. I can't waste any time. I don't have time to waste. I don't want to be stuck in any negative. You know, I want everything to be like clear at the end of the day. So I have to do every day, you know, to keep things cleared up. And I really try to do that. And it's rare that I let things roll into the next day. It happens, but it's rare. Thanks, Patty. I think.
What I do in my life, that last part you just talked about, I can understand that. So I don't know, early recovery, my sponsor told me how bad do you really want it. Then I heard the saying, keep it simple, and then they said stupid, and I got pissed off. So in my life today, I can't hold on to all this stuff. I'm not a perfectionist. I'm blessed. I've been around. I'm glad you're here. It's good to listen to people. But like you said, what made sense to me is I'm at the end of the ruler. I'm getting closer to death. So today Martin concentrates on the positive things, but the negatives keep coming. Because I had a few today. And my day started off good, every day does. So I'm sober. And I'm blessed with some abilities to do jobs, and I'm part of society through Alcoholics Anonymous. But I can be like a magnet, though. I can draw in a lot of stuff and try to be a perfectionist, and I don't. I don't even go there. I had an issue today with my daughter. She made a phone call to me, and she was upset. And I went through the motions. But I had to let that go immediately. Like you said, there's not a lot of time left. So all I got to say is I thank God that I have the life I have through Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. I thank you for sharing with me.
Thank you.
Hi, Judy. I'm Leslie Alcoholic, and it's so nice to see you here tonight in person. You talked about one of my very favorite defects, one that I still can't quite get rid of, and it was this. It was, you're talking about the driver's license thing, and that was defiance, and that's how I can be, and that unstoppable desire to poke the bear, even if I know I'm going to get my ass kicked. So I was wondering, I mean, I'm still wrestling with that, and I was wondering how you're dealing with that at this point.
Well, you know, certainly I listened to my sponsor and I got my driver's license. And I told that ex-husband of mine, I didn't get it because you said. I got it because Mary said. You know, just want to make sure he was clear on that. So you know, I took care of the defiance with defiance. But how that works today, if I get stuck with it, honestly, I call my sponsor, and I say, you know, I'm just really struggling. Like, I can't get a handle on this. I can't wrap my head around it. I just feel so headstrong right now. I don't know how to let go of it. I don't know what to do. And usually she'll say, and Mary used to do this to me too, she'll say, if the situation were reversed and you were me and I was you, what would you tell me to do? I hate that. Because this is the perfect example of God resides in all of us. And that spirit, that spiritual intuition is here. All we have to do is stop and think about it. And I could always tell my sponsor then, this is what I would tell you to do. And it's always right on. You know, I think we already know. And in my case, that would be, I need to ask God to remove this. I just really need to do that. I need to make an amend if I need to make it. You know, if I've harmed somebody. And I need to get on with my life and not waste this precious time. And, you know, sometimes it'll be a day or two. I don't know. Maybe a couple years ago, I had something that lasted a whole week. I called my sponsor every day. I said, I can't get past it. She said, you will. You will. I can't get past it. You will. You will. And then the day came, and I said, I think I'm past it. You know, so, and you know, experience has shown me that this will pass. This too will pass. It's not going to stay forever. And I can only keep that defiant kind of don't tell me kind of thing. I can't keep that for long and feel good about myself. You know, so pretty soon I'm not wanting to look in the mirror, and then I know I'm in trouble, and that pretty much is the day where I say, okay, I give up. You know, but does that happen to me? Of course it does. You know, but I do, I don't know, I was taught early on to make those phone calls, and that's what I do. Yeah.
I have one more question.
Sure.
It's kind of the reverse of that. And you had mentioned the topic of courage and finding your courage in recovery. And as far as step 6 and 7, how did finding that courage to maybe accept yourself, not worry so much about what other people thought and do what you thought was the right thing, how did that work for you in this context of 6 and 7?
I think in giving up fear, in giving up self, you know, part of my defects were saying that I had no worth and that I had no value and that I never should have been born. And, of course, that's all victimization because that's the kind of upbringing I had. Now, I can't change the upbringing. It happened because my parents were sick. And eventually, in sobriety, of course, I forgave them. But I didn't know all that when it was happening. Now, am I going to continue to behave in that way and think of myself in that way and stay the victim? I mean, my sponsor got really sick and tired of that. And she said, it's enough. You can't use that as an excuse anymore. You can't do anything about that, but you can do something about today and tomorrow and how you're going to be going forward. You have a responsibility in how you act now. And she gave me probably the best little advice regarding self-esteem. She said, you can't say anything to yourself that you won't say to your best friend. You know, so I use that a lot with the ladies that I sponsor. I say, what would you say to your best friend? You would never say that. And they're like, no, I wouldn't. Why am I doing this to myself? Well, I don't know. Let's have a look at that. You know. So that's, you know, the opposite of fear is courage in my book. And so when we're asking God to remove these defects of character, you know, something has to happen in place of them. So with dishonesty, you know, I have to utilize honesty more. Instead of being defiant, I have to be agreeable. Instead of being judgmental, I have to not judge. And so that's kind of the way that I did it. You know, please take this, and I'll work on this. There's still action steps. You still have to take action. It's not just, oh, please take this, and whoo, it's gone. No, you have to do something about it. You have to take some action. So, yeah. Thanks. Thanks for the question. God bless you.
Who else has a question for Judy? Anyone at home? No?
Okay.
If not, thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.